Now tonight we return to the upper room, the Lord Jesus continuing to reassure his disciples shortly to be bereft of his presence, and yet Jesus' reassurance centers on the coming of the Holy Spirit, shortly to be poured out liberally on the apostles, and of course on the apostles as representatives of the fledgling church that Jesus is establishing. And so we come back to that conversation again. We're going to read John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15, and then we will focus our attention on verses 14 and 15 of that longer passage. So then, John's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning at verse 7, and we hear the Lord Jesus speak in this way. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." That's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is powerfully at work in the lives of your people. We thank you that among the tools he uses, and indeed foremost among the tools that he uses, is the word of our God. And so, our Father, we pray this evening that the Holy Spirit might indeed use this word, your word, to address our hearts. And we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. How can it possibly be to the disciples' advantage that Jesus go away? And we've been exploring just how that can be the case. And Jesus has been reassuring the disciples. Jesus has been instructing us. The Holy Spirit is going to be unleashed in this world with convicting power, so that as Jesus sends his disciples, as he sends his church out into the world to be his witnesses, the ministry, the witness of his people will be empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit is the great witness to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus has been explaining to us in verses 8 through 11 how the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives, not just of the people of God, but also in the lives of unbelievers. And we explored how that's the case. The Holy Spirit is, as it were, like the unit of special force experts who we look at as we look at the fortified, hardened hearts of sinners that seem impenetrable impregnable to the gospel, impenetrable by the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the one who from within unlocks those fast bolted hearts in order to receive the truth of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of unbelievers, breaking down their defenses, opening them up to receive the gospel. The Holy Spirit is going to be at work in the lives of the disciples, leading them into a deeper understanding of truth, as he works in our hearts, leading us into a deeper understanding of truth. And all the while, the Holy Spirit is going to be bringing glory to the Lord Jesus, the one who's worthy to receive glory, to receive the praise of God's people. How does he do that? Well, tonight Jesus addresses that in verses 14 and 15. He says, "The Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Jesus paints for his disciples a picture of divine generosity, assuring us that we are not deprived of any good thing by virtue or on account of the fact that Jesus is not physically present with us. And in fact, the Lord Jesus is glorified as one who is a lavish Savior to his people. And so Jesus explains that to us. Now, I want us to think about it in these ways. Christian, first of all, as a follower of the Lord Jesus, you get to share the portion of the firstborn son. You get to share the portion of the firstborn son. And of course, you know that in the New Testament era, in the Old Testament era, it was the firstborn son who got the prize portion. His was the richest part of the inheritance. It didn't go to the firstborn daughter. It didn't go to the secondborn son. It was the firstborn son who inherited the bounty, the richest portion of the father's estate, the father's property. Jesus is the one who, by virtue of the fact that he is God the Son, Jesus is the inheritor. He is the heir to the firstborn portion, the portion of the firstborn son. What does Jesus say in verse 14? He says he, the Holy Spirit, is going to glorify Jesus because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is going to take what belongs to Jesus. He's going to declare it. He's going to present it to Jesus' disciples, to Jesus' followers. The Greek literally says, the Holy Spirit is going to glorify me because he will take my things and declare them to you. Now, we are very possessive of our things, aren't we? And we like to feel that our things are secure. And it may be the case that we have made clear to those who might be tempted, this is mine. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. It's mine. It's not yours. Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to take what's mine and he's going to declare it to you. He's going to make it known to you. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit's not going to be declaring or presenting his own things. He's going to be declaring the things of the Lord Jesus. He's going to make those things known to Jesus' disciples. By faith, he's going to put the disciples in possession of those things. The Holy Spirit's not, in other words, doing something that's new. Instead, he's going to take what is Jesus, what belongs to Jesus, and those things he's going to communicate, he's going to present to those who are members of Jesus' church, to Jesus' followers. Imagine for a moment you are at the art museum, and you go in there and you look around, and of course there are various pieces of art on the wall, and you look at them, and you might be sufficiently knowledgeable about art to say, well, that's a portrait, and that's a landscape, and I'm not quite sure what this one is. But there's a guide there, and that guide takes you under her wing and begins to speak to you about the art. Here, the portrait. Look at the portrait. Examine the lighting. Look at the contour of the profile. Look at the way in which the portrait has been rendered. Look at the expression. Look at the richness of the work of the artist. And now the landscape. See how the artist has worked in such a way as to communicate atmosphere and to draw you into what he has portrayed. And this here, it's not perhaps immediately obvious what's going on, but see this aspect, see that aspect. Do you understand how the artist has put this together? And at the end of that, tour, you're breathless. You are amazed, and you say, "Wow, that artist! What a truly marvelous craftsman that artist is! What wonderful works of art he has produced!" Now, of course, it's not the guide who has produced those works of art, but it's the guide who opens your eyes to see and understand the work of the master craftsman, the master artist in the things that he has done. And so you're amazed, and your response is to marvel at the works of that artist, what he has done, his accomplishments, the consummate skill, the unparalleled abilities. And then, of course, you think, that tour guide, the one who explained that to me, well, wow, that person really knew their stuff as well. You see, that's how the Holy Spirit works in taking the things of the Lord Jesus and declaring them to us. So as we look at what the Savior has accomplished, as we see his life lived in obedience to the Father, as we see the manifestations of his servant heart, the expressions of his love, as we see his work on the cross brought home to us so that our hearts are broken by the realization that it's our sin that he died for, we're melted. And we recognize the things of the Lord Jesus, and then we realize that our appreciation of those things is because the Holy Spirit has been at work in our lives, not calling attention to himself, but pointing us to the Lord Jesus, and doing so with a fluency, with an expression, with an ability to unpack and clarify the things that Jesus has done in such a way as to leave us breathless with admiration, in such a way as to build that faith, that confidence in Jesus by which we enjoy the benefits of salvation. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. He's enthusiastic about Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit is, as someone has said, the Holy Spirit is the retiring person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit makes it his business to draw the eyes of our faith toward the Lord Jesus so that we see Jesus, so that we marvel at the Lord Jesus, and we're drawn into Scripture. And going into Scripture, what is it we see? Well, there are many things that we might go into the Bible to explore. We might have an interest in Old Testament history. We might have an interest in the manners and customs of peoples of other cultures. We might have a curiosity about the kinds of laws that governed and directed Old Testament Israel. But as we come into Scripture, the thing above all else that that the Holy Spirit would have us see and recognize is the Lord Jesus. You remember how Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and those experts of the law back in John's Gospel chapter 5, where Jesus says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have life. You are experts in the Scriptures, but," says Jesus, "you refuse to come to me in order that you might have life," because you see the Scriptures point toward the Lord Jesus and what he does. And so the Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus, what is his, what's he takes the things of Jesus and declares them to you. The larger catechism tells us that we are made partakers of the benefits which Christ has procured. We're made partakers of the benefits that Christ has procured by the application of them unto us, which is the work especially of God the Holy Spirit. The richness of the benefits that Christ has procured, the Holy Spirit makes those things known to us. You remember the shorter catechism talking about the benefits that are ours in Christ Jesus, and that summary given in question 36, the benefits of justification, adoption, sanctification, the assurance of God's love. Think of the confidence that Jesus had in his Father's love. That relationship from all eternity, confidence that Jesus has, Jesus as the Son has in the Father, the Holy Spirit allows us to begin to have that same sense of confidence that this God is our Heavenly Father as well. What is Jesus' relationship with the Father by nature becomes ours by grace. The Holy Spirit gives us that sense of confidence that we call out, "Abba, Father," the Holy Spirit giving to us peace of conscience. Our hearts are at rest because the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus on the cross, and we realize that there on the cross, Jesus bore the penalty for our sins. The increase in grace as we become more like the Lord Jesus. How do we grow in grace? It's as the Holy Spirit takes that grace that is in the Lord Jesus and as it were, causes us to, well, we were saying this morning, become partakers in Jesus as the Holy Spirit connects us with the Savior so that the benefits and blessings that are His become ours, flowing into our lives. And then, of course, those rich blessings, that rich portion that is the inalienable entitlement of the firstborn son that belongs to the Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Those things ultimately are the gift of the generous Father. You see, again, we have this realization that the members of the Holy Trinity are not tugging against each other. They're not working at cross purposes. No, they work in well-choreographed coordination, accomplishing the full salvation of those who are appointed for everlasting life. And so in verse 15, Jesus says, "All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that He, the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and declare it to you." The blessings that are bestowed on Jesus, the obedient Son, come from the hand of a generous Father. God is portrayed in Scripture as a God who is generous, a God who is extravagantly and lavishly generous. And the Father who blesses the Son, that same Father blesses us because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says it's the Holy Spirit who, as it were, passes those blessings along to us. You see, the picture is that of the sharing the sharing of family property. And isn't it the case that in a household, in a family, there's a familiarity that allows things to get shared. Things get shared, and there's a sense of, there's a kind of common ownership of a lot of things. You remember the father of the prodigal son speaking to the other son, the elder son, and saying, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." You see, there's the kind of sharing that goes on in a household, in a family. The older son was ungrateful, but the fact remained that while he lived in his father's house, all the things that the father had were his. Luke 15, verse 31. The Lord Jesus, the richness of heaven, the Lord Jesus enjoys those as the eternal Son of the Almighty Father. And so Jesus pictures for us this idea of the Father blessing the Son and then the Christian as the adopted child. We're adopted into the family of God. Those blessings become ours, and that transfer is mediated by the Holy Spirit. Earlier this year, back in January of 2017, library in one of the libraries in Ghent in the Netherlands was, I guess, shut down. A new library had been built, and of course the books needed to be moved from the old library to the new library. Now, those of you who know anything about books know they're bulky and they're heavy. And if you've ever contemplated moving them, that's a kind of a heart-sinking prospect. Anyway, the good people of Ghent formed a human chain in January, 1,200 of them. And they formed a human chain that extended from the old library all the way up the street, round the corner, up the block, to where the new library building was, and they started passing books. And the books got passed along up the sidewalks, across the street, in through the door, up to the into the new building. The Holy Spirit takes the richness that is the Lord Jesus' portion, the portion of the only begotten Son. And the Holy Spirit passes that on to the people of God. Matthew Henry says, "All that the Spirit shows us," that is, applies to us, "all that the Holy Spirit shows to us for our instruction and our comfort, all that he gives to us for our strength and quickening, all that he secures for us and seals to us, did all belong to Christ and was had and received from him. All was his, for he bought it and paid dearly for it. And you see then, as Henry says, the Holy Spirit transfers that to us. Now, we might, in closing, think of some ways that we might apply those things. One thing is simply to reflect on the fact the Holy Spirit is very enthusiastic about the Lord Jesus. He's constantly pointing to the Lord Jesus. He's constantly pointing to the things that Jesus has procured, the richness. Remember Paul talking about, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's pointing us to that. That's good for us to keep in mind. You see, here the sun doesn't always shine. Here there are all kinds of flies in the ointment, all kinds of setbacks and difficulties. Our Heavenly Father has, through the Lord Jesus, secured for us a rich inheritance, the portion of the beloved Son. The Holy Spirit keeps reminding us of that. We're not to fix our minds on things of earth. The Holy Spirit's constantly tugging on our sleeve and pointing us to the Lord Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. He's pointing us into the Scriptures so that we can discover Jesus. And of course, he points us to Jesus as the only way of salvation. The Holy Spirit magnifies Jesus as the only way for us to be reconciled to God. And he's unpacking for us what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, what Jesus has done by his obedient life, so that we can be assured that in Jesus Christ we have salvation, so that when we struggle with doubts and misgivings and with fears, and when the tempter comes and whispers in our ear the words of accusation, the Holy Spirit's beckoning us to come and look again at the Scripture, be reminded again of what Jesus has done for us to secure for us a salvation. And then, of course, we celebrate the adoptive relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, secured by Jesus Christ and made real to us by the Holy Spirit. We are united with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit establishes that union. And then, of course, being united with Jesus, we're united with one another. We enjoy, what does the benediction that we often use speak of? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit forges those bonds that exist between us as members of the body of Christ. And so our fellowship is, as John tells us, with one another, as we have fellowship with God. And so we recognize one another as brothers and sisters, beloved by Heavenly Father, enriched in Jesus Christ, joint heirs with our Savior. And we're thankful to be in fellowship with such people as these, and rejoice that God in Christ should have made us worthy to be in fellowship with these others with whom we find ourselves in common confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the unfathomable richness of what is ours in Jesus. And we have tasted something of the sweetness and the richness of what Jesus has done for us. And yet, our Father, we know that what yet lies before us goes beyond what we are able to fathom. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who bears witness with our spirits that we are sons and daughters of God. And so we ask that with that confident assurance that we would delight in the good things that are ours. And